Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the psalm for the day. By the way, in the front of the bulletin are the psalm pages. After that comes page 151 because there are 150 psalms. And we will be looking at Psalm 22 if you want to open it up. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? And then we come to verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. This is the text. Along with which comes a question. The question is, how do you gather a congregation? I'll tell you in a moment why that's the question. But how do you gather a congregation? And when you look at doing that as a pastor, you have to decide how to divide your time between two basic things. One of them is defending against those things that come at the congregation from outside. How much do you spend on that? And the other one is calling people to the center, the heart and core of what we believe. My belief on this is that you always have to put first calling people to the center, because if you don't know what you believe, how do you defend against what comes at you from the outside? So we're talking about things at the center. Psalm 22 is at the center. It's at the center because, first, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me, is at the center of the words of Jesus from the cross. It is the fourth of seven, right there in the middle. Second, my God, why have you forsaken me, is the climax of the suffering of Jesus in our place. It is the central act of the work of salvation. And without that central act of the work of salvation, there is no salvation. As Peter learned, when Jesus was teaching the disciples about how he had to go to Jerusalem to suffer, to go to the cross, and Peter takes Jesus aside to say, never, this should never happen to you. And Jesus says, you don't have your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Get behind me. Because he is going to that one place, which is where the act of salvation must happen. So that's right in the middle. Third, my God, why have you forsaken me, is at the center of Jesus bringing faith in the words and promises of God into our separation and our darkness. Think about this. When he prays, my God, that's a prayer of faith. Those are words of faith. And he claims that God the Father is his God there in the darkness of the cross and there in the middle of the separation. Where God the Father turned his back on him and forsook him because he was carrying my sins. There in that place, he still prays the prayer of faith, bringing faith and the words and promises of God into my place, my situation, my sin, my separation. So, oh, by the way, In the news. A couple weeks ago, they started out over in South Korea, and the opening celebrations and ceremonies, and I'm sitting there waiting for it. I know it's coming. And then the crowd starts to break into song, led by a singer who really should know better. Break into song. Imagine there's no heaven. They've been doing that since the Sydney Olympics. Imagine there's no heaven. Seize it if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. And I'm thinking, well, that's a contrast between imagine this, life without God and life where you don't matter because nothing matters, because there is no God, there is no eternity, there is no right and wrong, there is no morality, there is nothing. Imagine that. Or take the words and promises of God and watch Jesus walk with those words and promises of God into the darkness of the separation and lives lived without God, and bring those words and promises of God to those who are living without God. That's an amazing contrast. So the psalm. Psalm 22 starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the psalm goes on, and it is a back and forth for much of the psalm, back and forth between two things. On the one hand, it is Jesus pouring out his soul, telling about what is happening. My hands and my feet are pierced. All my bones are out of joint. My strength is dried up. You lay me in the dust of death. They divide my garments and cast lots. That's on the one hand. On the other is prayers of trust, as the words and promises of God confront the situation. So prayers of trust, verses 4 and 5. In you our fathers trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. Verses 9 and 10. Trust because of God's faithful providing throughout every day. You are he who took me from the womb. On you I was cast from birth. Expressing trust in God. Trust because of God's character. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Trust in God in spite of everything and anything. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. You are my help. Come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword. You have rescued me. Verses 19 to 21. You have rescued me is part of the prayer of Jesus. There, in the middle of all of those things happening, it is a prayer of trust, it is a prayer of faith, it is a prayer of, and here it comes, hope and anticipation. Verse 22. Hope and anticipation. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. There's the anticipation. In the midst of the congregation, what's that? A few verses later, it's the great congregation. What's that? Well, it's what John the Apostle saw in the book of Revelation when he looked and saw a multitude that no one could count from every tribe and people, nation and language gathered before the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, shouting out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That is the day of celebration. It is the day when Jesus returns. It is the day when all who have known Jesus in faith rise from the dead, and standing before his throne, we join in singing and celebrating and rejoicing because he has saved and delivered us and brought us home. The fascinating thing is, this is what is going on the cross as Jesus calls out of forsakenness. He says, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. So he brings the words and promises of God right into the curse, the separation, the darkness, the damnation. Brings it right into that. He comes for me. So there's something about this verse that we just discovered a few weeks ago as we're studying through the letter to the Hebrews. It's an awkward translation, but it's better. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will hymn you. So the word for praise there actually is the Hebrew word for hymns, singing the praises. So here's another verse that tells of Jesus singing praises on Judgment Day. Jesus singing. This one, it says, he is singing his praises to God the Father for the salvation that he has been able to bring to us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it will be like on that day? With everything opening up into eternal blessings, all of what God has to give us. Can you imagine? Not just being rescued from and avoiding judgment and eternal death. Can you imagine the full measure of the blessings of God? Can you imagine? Actually, no, you can't. Neither can I. The Bible says it is beyond our imagining. But that is what we're looking forward to. And here, it's painted a different picture of what all of this is all about. Christianity is not about following rules, keeping the commandments, walking in a narrow way so that you can avoid judgment and get by and get into heaven and live forever. Christianity is about God who loves you and calls you to be a part of his joy, his blessing, his eternity, his life, and to share the immeasurable greatness of the blessings and the joy and the life of God. Immeasurable to have that somehow in your life, your existence, your soul for all eternity. That's what we're talking about. And there's too many pale imitations of the reality. Again, it is not about keep the commandments so you can get by and avoid the bad stuff. It is God wishes and has decided, and somehow he's going to do this beyond all imagining to give you every joy and blessing that he can, imagine for all eternity. This is why Jesus went to the cross for us. So that on that day, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing praises to you. So, out of the cross, coming from the cross of Jesus, what do we have? Let's run rapidly through it. Verse 23, all are invited, all who fear the Lord, all who know the Lord by faith in Jesus. Verse 24, he will not turn away from any who are despised or abhorred or afflicted. He hears the prayers and he calls us to come to him. Verse 25, and out of God's faithfulness, all that he has done comes the praises because there are certain things that happen where you just have to break into song, and this is the greatest one of them ever. Oh, and by the way, led by Jesus. Verse 26, and we join in because finally at the end of everything, we get to look back on everything that has happened, and we will say, this is most certainly true, that we have been watched over and cared for and rescued by God. This is our God. We have waited for Him, and He has saved us, says Isaiah. In verse 27, this reaches out to the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. Oh, brief note. Isn't that a strange way of saying it? All the ends of the earth will remember? And what it's saying is like, when the gospel gets into your heart, it becomes the most obvious thing in the whole world. How did I not know this before? How could I ever have thought differently? It's like, oh, that's what God was telling me 6,000 years ago. Took me this long to listen. Now I remember. Now I remember who I am. Now I remember why I was created. Now I remember that my life is to be a life lived walking with God, not only now, today, but tomorrow and all the days to all eternity. Now I see. It's quite a way of saying it. Verse 28, from the prosperous, those who have power, to the helpless, those who go down into death, everyone connected to Jesus is raised up and blessed. Verse 30, he reaches out and calls and gathers generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. Somebody stop me. After generation, somebody's, okay. That's his plan. To all the generations. Even to those who are not yet born, verse 31. But what are we to say to all of this? This is his kingship. That's verse 28. This is his kingship. It's like no other. And every part of his rule in my life is gracious and good, because every part of his rule in my life is planned to bring me to that day of celebration where seeing my Lord Jesus, singing hymns of praise to his Father, I'll be invited to join in. And so it will be. Rolling on into all eternity with that level of joy and blessedness and celebration. And this is something I do not want to miss out on. And that is why I believe in Jesus. Amen.